Thank you, Paul. It's been a delight to be with you all this weekend. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share in it. And it's been wonderful to, with Epiphany and with dear John, to be able to be partnering together on what's been a really special weekend. The whole focus has been prayer for everyone. In a context of celebration, of creativity, and of teaching, to be able to learn more about prayer and to be inspired in it. One of the great challenges of a weekend like this is that you almost feel at the end of you're on top of that mountain, and you really sense that closeness of God, that sense of shared fellowship and life together, and then you've got Monday morning tomorrow. And so I particularly want to speak today, following on and gathering together from what we've been sharing, of what does it mean for us to sustain prayer and to be sustained by prayer. So we're going to take a reading from Nehemiah, and we're going to look at this short book this morning and how prayer is the theme that runs right the way through it in all sorts of different circumstances and challenges we face. So reading hopefully from Nehemiah and starting, just taking verses through Nehemiah each, which will focus on prayer. The story is, for any of you who are not familiar with Nehemiah was in slavery. He'd been snatched from his home country, and he was servant to the king, and he'd received some really sad news from home, about his home city devastated, and he's so sad by it that he's just overwhelmed by it, and then how eventually the king releases him to be able to go back and to rebuild his home. But it's a real challenge, faced with all sorts of discouragements around him, and yet we see how prayer constantly is a thing that sustains him. We want to think of how does he sustain prayer through all of that. So reading from chapter 1, verse 6, let your ear, he's praying now to God, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, include myself, my family's father's family, have committed against you. Then he's before the king, and the king eventually says to him, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah, where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it. So he goes to start that rebuilding. The next reading goes on to then say that as he begins to build, the surrounding people are really hostile to this, and they begin to discourage him. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stirred up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. But still they face real discouragements. They're faced with rubble everywhere from the past ruin of the city, and they're feeling so weak and so vulnerable. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work. It will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Father, we pray here this morning. Whatever circumstances we're here from today, some of us over this weekend have been really inspired about prayer. Some of us, if we're honest, we didn't even come to the weekend because we've given up on prayer. We felt so discouraged sometimes by seemingly unanswered prayer. Lord, come now by your Spirit. I pray that in this closing session of this weekend, there'll be a real move of your Holy Spirit, helping us to understand how we can, not just on a weekend like this experience, how we can sustain prayer and how prayer can sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, thank you for your welcome and greetings from my wife Pam and for the Woodlands Group of Churches. Great to have that link with you here at Thornbury, and we pray for every day. So prayer has always been, over those many, many years of sharing with you, a significant part of that link with you. We want to just take these verses and sense how for every, that's my prayer today, for every one of us, maybe a visitor, you may not expect it to be here today, but I sense God has something he wants to say to us, every one of us today, about prayer. So first thing I want to think about from chapter one is, how do we sustain prayer when things are tough? For Nehemiah, things were tough. He'd been snatched from his home country, he was a slave. You know, those times when you most need to pray is often the time when you least feel like praying. Often because when you most need to pray is because you're going through challenging circumstances, something difficult happened in your life, and you don't feel like praying. Maybe you feel tired, you feel vulnerable, maybe the very thing that's discouraged you is you'd prayed about and didn't get the answer to your prayer, seemingly, and therefore, why would you want to pray again? Nehemiah was in that kind of situation. Even the very fact, here he was, one of the people of God, but they're in captivity. Why didn't God answer those prayers, those times when they were under attack? Why didn't God save them? He didn't. Now in slavery. And his hometown, what's happened is a messenger has just arrived from Jerusalem, from his home city, and told him the news that a city is in ruins, the walls are broken down, the gates have been burned, and he's absolutely devastated. Where was God in all this? And you think these are the times when you least feel like praying? And yet there comes this moment where it says, as he hears the news, the first thing he does, and he reaches out to God and he says, "Hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night." He literally, day and night, is praying to God, despite the challenges he's been going through. And I found often in life, it's those times when you're going through really difficult times, particularly when you've maybe received some sad news, some bad news. The bad news is even the thing you've been praying about, and this is the bad news telling it didn't quite work out as you hoped it might work out. For many of you here today, if you're really honest, there are situations in your life where you've really felt, why didn't God answer that prayer? And it seemed to be so different to what you'd expected. You may be struggling with that even today. I can remember, I share this particularly because there were some folk here today who were really helpful at this time for us. I can remember when we received, was like the worst news that sometimes a woman can get. This is some years ago now, and Pam had been for a breast scan, as you regularly have, and the consultant had been a bit concerned, so he called back, and we'd been back and had some further tests, etc., and they were going to contact us to let us know the outcome, and the telephone went. And it was from the hospital. And this was it, really. This was the news that you dread hearing. It's cancer. And in fact, we'll need to operate as soon as we can to remove your breast. We prayed so much. We'd asked God. We heard there was challenging results. And this is what we hear. The day came when we were due to go for the operation. I can still remember it. Monday morning, and we woke up that morning conscious that this was going to be a challenging day. How do you pray when the going's tough? I can still remember Pam, and it was very moving, in tears. That morning, I remember looking down, I don't know if I should even say this here in church, but looking down at her breast, as it were, and thinking, it's the last time I'm going to see my breast. It's not like a broken leg when it mends after a while. It's the last time, and it's your whole femininity is tied up in it. And so we prayed together. As we pray, just that somehow God might speak into that situation. And as we did, we were about to read the Bible for the day. We read the Bible every day. It's kind of like bread to us. You cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's something alive about the Bible. You say, but Rob, sometimes you don't feel like reading it. These are the sort of times you don't feel like reading it. I mean, you haven't got time. We've got an appointment. All that's about to happen. But as he read it, it was these amazing words from Romans 15 and verse 13. It says this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And as we prayed together, I remember praying over Pam and just that sense, oh God, today, quicken hope in us. Where it seems so helpless, and just quicken hope, Lord. And we were on our way out now to the hospital, and there were two letters on the, well, three altogether. One was a general circular thing, but there were two letters, and one of them was an envelope with a card inside. It was from a friend who actually knew that Pam had her operation that day, and had kindly wrote a little note: "Dear Pam, just want to assure you that we're thinking of you and praying for you today." And I felt as I was praying for you, listen about prayer. You see, prayer is not just us making our needs known to God, but God speaking to us in prayer. So I felt as I prayed to God today, she said, "God gave me this verse for you." And so she wrote it down. You might guess what it is. Romans 15 and verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." By now we were feeling encouraged, that sense of God speaking it. Somehow, even though we can understand why this should happen at this time and this stage of life and everything else, but somehow God, the God of hope, was quickening a sense of hope. It's important to understand that hope is not self-generated optimism. It's not just think the best, try a bit harder, look on the best side. It's that Holy Spirit-inspired inner conviction, where it's the God of hope stirring in you and enabling an overflow of hope that doesn't come out of just human optimism, but the Holy Spirit quickening in us a sense of hope. We're on our way to the hospital now. It's over at Frenche, and we were already running a little bit late, and we're getting for this appointment for the hospital and those for the tests you have beforehand. And there's a church, and outside the church, it had one of those notice boards, you know, almost luminous sometimes, the little verse on the front of it, and there's great big letters, this great verse, almost as if it's shouting at you as you go in. And yep, you guess what it is, Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. You trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, by that time, we were getting the message, you know, kind of sensitive. But isn't it amazing how, as we pray and the way God speaks to us, and even those times you feel, well, Rob, to be honest, I don't even feel like reading the Bible. Even sometimes you don't even feel like reading. God has amazing ways of making his word known to us. That all creation is speaking to us day and night. It was an amazing experience. As we were waiting in the waiting room, there was another lady, she's a doctor. She was going for an operation as well. Pam had at the same time. And Pam had an amazing opportunity with her to share faith with her and to see her in that journey of knowing Jesus. And since then, hundreds of people she's been able to share and pray with. Why? Because of her operation, because of what she went through. And sometimes we can't always work it out. It isn't always the way you say, but that wasn't what you prayed for, maybe. But God, sometimes the way he answers our prayers is different to what we anticipate as being the answer. It's particularly when you're going through those tough times. Maybe for some of you may say, but Rob, to be honest, it's not the big thing. It's not bad news like that. It's just the nitty-gritty things. Rob, if you knew my life, so many things are just irritating, frustrating things that have just somehow sapped away my energy, and I find it difficult to pray. And yet somehow in those circumstances, when we allow God by his Spirit, the God of hope, to stir hope in us. I often say, you know, you take a little shell like an oyster shell, and with plenty of sand around it, quickly gets a little bit gritty. You know, you get a bit of grit in your eye and it waters. Life's like that sometimes. You get lots of grit in your eye and it waters. Well, nature has a way with an oyster. It waters, but it's a kind of moisture that it releases, it were, and it forms around that bit of grit. And after a while, not just the next day or the next week, but after years of grit in your eye, as it were, it forms a beautiful pearl. It's those pearls of life where somehow through those challenging, frustrating, gritty situations of life, but it's prayer that releases God's purposes. You see, without hope, it's very difficult to pray. I was saying yesterday that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it that sustains prayer? It is hope. It's a sense of expectancy. Or isn't you still praying after years of praying for the same thing? Is it just me now saying, well, I don't think it'll ever happen, or I still... No. It's a sense of hope stirring in us, that expectancy. The next of these prayers, Winnemar, is an amazing prayer. How does prayer sustain and guide us when we have little time to pray? Those kind of momentary arrow prayers when you're in the midst of situation and you haven't got time to pray, you say, and yet in those moments, we do pray. So for Nehemiah, he was a servant to the king. In fact, he was the cupbearer to the king. He would taste the wine before the king take it. So in case anything had spiced it, he'd experience it first. Normally, whenever with the king, to be a servant of the king, you need to be usually joyful and joy. And part of the whole exercise was always being a bit of an uplift. And here he is, he'd normally serve the king. But this day and night, he's been praying for his home city in ruins, his heartache he's feeling for it as he's been praying. And he's now on duty, and you know, there's times when you just don't even feel like work when you're in the middle of work, and anyway, it's all going, this is not the time to pray. And the king says to him, hey, you look really sad. And he says, yeah, he said, it's my home city, it's in ruins. Then the king says to him, he says, what can I do for you? This is the king who's got huge power and resources, could do anything. This is the king. This is the one you want to bring out your shopping list of prayer and kind of thing. And he says, It says this amazing thing. As the king says, what can I do for you? It says this. I prayed to the God of heaven and then answered the king. So I can't imagine with eyes closed for an hour, you know. This is just that moment where the king's actually, what can I do for you? And yet he prays. He says, I pray to the God of heaven, and I answer the king. How do we experience those kind of prayers that permeate our life when sometimes you've got little time to pray, or it's those urgent situations where, and sometimes it's also where you just struggle in prayer even to be able to find those words coming in prayer. And prayer sometimes can be hard going. And sometimes you don't even know what to pray. We were just talking yesterday under intercession, those amazing words in Romans 8 where the Holy Spirit helps in our praying. I can remember on one occasion, a half a dozen students who just started as freshers at the university, and they were helping door to door. We were visiting on this housing estate, but one of the students, his father was a missionary, his parents were missionaries in India, and they were home visiting that summer. So they'd come to this week we were having, and we'd had this sort of teaching session, and then encouraged them to go out, and we'd seen some amazing things. And he said to me at the end, he said, it'd be wonderful if you could come to India sometime, and one of our discipleship training groups should be able to do that. Now, in those days, I said yes to everything. So I said, oh, yeah, it'd be great, wonderful, you know, and hardly thinking about it, you know, and sure enough, and he helped me know a travel agent. I even booked a ticket, and it was all going. So, and life continued. Life was always very full on the house estate we were working on, some really challenging situations. And then suddenly I get a letter from the travel agent to say I paid a small deposit, but the rest of the money was due the next day. Oh, goodness me. And, you know, as I say, normally we weren't faced with big bills like that. Even if the car broke down, we just have to wait a few weeks until we could afford, you know, but this is when we had to be by the next day. And so I can remember thinking, I spent quite a bit of time in the day praying, and then I thought, I'm going to spend the night praying. And so here I am, my first night in prayer, right? And the trouble was, we weren't at home. We were staying with our in-laws. And I like to pray aloud, and I dare not do that in the middle of the night, so I'm here. But I'd have to be honest with you, it was more perspiration than inspiration. I was really struggling. I'm praying because, you know, I had one thing in mind. I needed to get this ticket tomorrow, and I'm telling God it's his work. He called me to it. It's his duty to sort of do it. You know, you sometimes try to twist God's hand in prayer as if, you know, it's after all, God needs to do it. And it was like treading treacle, you know. I was really struggling, and this is the early hours of the morning, and as I'm doing this, and again, this is the amazing way in prayer of how God speaks to us as well as us asking. Often we're struggling away so much what we're asking, we don't hear what he's saying. But I felt just God whisper a word to me. It was just a scripture from Psalm 37, those amazing words. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'd be confessing to being a little naughty and thinking, because it's the early hours, I'm feeling a bit bleary-eyed. How long do I need to delight, Lord, before you give me the desire, you know? You know? But, we do that sometime with God. We have that kind of way in which we're almost bargaining with God. Or else what we say is this. We just turn it round. We say, Lord, you give me the desire of my heart, and I really would delight in you, you know? But we may smile, but we do in our thinking. That's the way we handle it sometimes, almost. But I felt God say to me, no, you just delight in me. Just delight in me. And I felt that amazing release. That's why it's been wonderful as we came to see how worship and prayer work together. And as I began to worship, and it wasn't actually for a long time, it was just that sense of delight, Lord, you're the altogether lovely one. You're the fairest of 10. And those moments where you feel he's raptured your heart, and you feel almost if you just let go, it didn't even matter now. After all, it's God's work. Why do I struggle with it? And even if I didn't receive the money and I didn't go to India, well, that's not the end of the world. Far more important, that sense of delighting in him. And as I was worshiping like that, just delighting in the Lord, I felt God whisper, in the post in the morning would be the answer to your prayer. And actually, to be honest with you, it didn't even grasp all, didn't think, oh, whatever. That's interesting. By the time of the morning, of course, I didn't even think clearly because, of course, I wasn't at home, so I wouldn't get the post in the morning anyway. But hopefully when I got home, whatever post had arrived by the time I got home. But so I'm at my in-laws, and I go down in the morning, and there were three letters on the mat. The first two to Mr. and Mrs. to my in-laws. But the third one was an airmail letter. It was addressed to me. I'm Scott Cook, and I think, oh, this is strange. You know, getting a letter at my in-laws. And I open this letter up, this airmail letter. It says, Dear Rob, I'm hoping this reaches you. Because I remember when we were at university together, this is where you stayed for a while, and I've only got Pam's address, your in-law's address, so I'm sending this letter to you now because I'm overseas and I've not got any other address for you, Rob. In fact, I'm in a closed country where I've not been able to go to church because there isn't any place I can go to worship, so I've saved up my tithes, my giving, and I put it all together because I felt God say to me that I should send this to you at this time. As I looked at this check in it, it was just the amount for that ticket that day. And just that amazing sense of God's provision. But in it was something much more important to me. It wasn't just the fact, oh, I could buy the ticket now. But God had shown me something about you delight in me. And there's a process that happens, you know. There's a divine process in prayer. And it's linked with worship and prayer. You may think, but as I said, you may even think, well, okay, next time I'll pray. I'll worship first before I pray, kind of thing. Sometimes we can even ask services. Is worship just a little introduction? Is it before we then get into the real thing? Or is there something about worship that really permeates our lives? So it's not that we just delight in the Lord and then we have a list of things we've always wanted. These are the desires of my heart. This is what I want. Delight in the Lord to give you the desires of your heart. So I quickly have the list of desires. I delight in it. No. What happens is this is, when you delight in the Lord, He gives you desires of heart. He shapes the desires of heart. In fact, the things when you started praying you thought you had to have, lest you'd never be happy, suddenly don't seem quite so important. And things you'd never even thought you'd ever be doing now become more significant to you. And as you delight in Him and those values, that focus of life, become, He actually gives you desires of heart. Gives you the desires of heart. He shapes those desires of heart. So there's a divine process that's going on in prayer that as we're doing that and we're delighting in Him, He's giving us desires of heart. And there's something very powerful about that way in which we handle prayer. It's not just a shopping list of what we'd like. I often say, you know, with our children, if you think a happy child, give them everything they ask for. You couldn't have a happier child, really. No, you're just a spoilt, selfish child. And God's our Father. He wants to give us good gifts, even when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, this weekend has been wonderful to sense the Holy Spirit working among us. But some of you may struggle. You may have had bad experiences or read some strange, weird stories, you know, people speaking in strange languages and all that, and thought, oh, I'd like to feel I'm in control of life. And, you know, that kind of sense sometimes of being open to God, giving you pictures and prophecy. And we love to be in control of our own lives. You know, Jesus says on one occasion, you know, your heavenly Father, and He's talking about the Holy Spirit, being your heavenly Father loves to give you good gifts. Good gifts. Which one of you as a child say to your dad, Dad, in the morning, I'd like a boiled egg. Not too hard, not too soft. Just like I like it, Dad. Just a little runny. And keep it warm with an egg cozy on it. And down you come in the morning, Dad's got you your egg. You ask your father for an egg, so he gives you an egg. There it is, with a cozy on it. You take the little cozy off the top, and out jumps a scorpion and bites you. And Dad says, that'll teach you to ask for those things like that. And you think, which one of you as parents would ever do that? Your father wants to give good gifts to you. If you ask an egg, he won't give you a scorpion. If you ask a fish, he won't give you a... If you ask him for bread, he won't give you a stone. And yet, these are just normal things of life. Egg, bread. You know, this is what we need to sustain our lives. The Holy Spirit is not just an extra special. This is what we need to live life in all its fullness. And the gifts of God's Spirit, He longs to give those gifts to us. And prayer releases those gifts of God. I must hasten. The next of these scriptures goes on to speak about. Can prayer give sustained protection? Here is where He begins to build. and immediately surrounded by enemies who all the time are undermining what he's doing. Not just, as it were, threatening to knock down the wall, but that kind of subtle way in which people sometimes can undermine our confidence, whether it's at work, whether it's a family breakdown in relationships. And, you know, folk can say some stinging things sometimes, really hurtful things. Do you know what they were saying here, building the wall? Look at that. Even if a fox crawled on that, it would all fall down. Really? And you easily get discouraged. How do you handle those kind of comments? Things that say, that linger with you, even in the middle of the night, you're still waking up and think, did she say that about me? And it pierces like a fiery dart. It says here, this amazing sense that we prayed to our God and put a guard day and night. Prayer itself is a means of protection. In Ephesians 6, when it gives, there's an amazing way in which God has equipped us, that armor of God. And key to that is prayer. And among it is also, which we can exercise in prayer, is that shield of faith. And that whole prayer of faith, how that goes. So the shield of faith is interesting, isn't it? It says the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the challenge often is that we thank God for his help sometimes in our lives when we've gone through difficult times, and where God has brought comfort and strength as we've pulled out another dart and someone else has ministered to us through that wounded spirit, and we feel the strength and help. But actually the fiery dart, the shield is meant to stop the fiery dart. Shield is not the means that then helps us to get the fiery darts out, as it were, and to heal the wounds that are there. God actually wants to give us a shield of protection that stops the fiery dart from piercing. What is it to be able to exercise that kind of prayer? Where he says, we posted this guard, pray day and night, this protection. So often when I pray, there's some here I pray for every day of my life. And one of the things I pray is for God's protection over them. And actually, since I'm praying, I'm spreading like a canopy. Lord, today, whatever this person's going, whatever they're experiencing, just now spread that shield of faith. Now, I shield of faith. I spread that over them, Lord. Even now, whatever fiery darts are on their way today for them, whether it's at work, I'm just spreading that shield of faith that can quench those fiery darts. How do we cover one another in prayer? How do we sense that protection that comes through prayer that quenches all those fiery darts of the wicked one? We must hasten. The next of those goes on to speak about how does prayer bring sustaining strength. So prayer itself, you know, often when we talk about joy, and we've talked a fair bit this weekend about joy, because joy is a key in prayer. I quoted on our first evening those words from Philippians 1. When you think about prayer, you think, oh yeah, I know I ought to, Rob. I feel a bit guilty not about doing it, but okay, we ought to pray. Paul says these words, whenever I pray for all of you, in all my prayers, you, I always pray with joy. All my prayers, I always pray with joy. Ooh, how do we sense that joy, which is actually a source of inspiration in prayer? And often when we think of joy we usually think as an outcome. You know, you've had good news and you're joyful. It's a good day, you're on holiday, you're joyful. In other words, because of this, you're joyful. But actually the Bible speaks about that all my springs of joy are in you, Lord. There's a welling up that actually the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not that I feel strong and therefore I'm joyful. It's actually joy is my strength. It's an inner sense that as we pray and sense that inner strength. So as we take that promise of Scripture, I want to pray it over us today prophetically and sense that response here this morning as God's Spirit moves among us. Those words of Romans 15, the God of hope filling you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness. What does it mean for the God of hope to fill us with all joy and peace? As I say, hope is not a self-generated optimism. It's not just thinking, breathe your chest out and think, try your best, think the best, you know. It's the Holy Spirit filling us. Filling us in such a way that and it's not just so we feel good. It's not just about our own work, but that we overflow with hope. We're not just experiencing hope. We're bringers of hope to a world around us. How do we experience that inner strength? That sense of God strengthening our hands. That's what he literally says. He says, I pray now. this time when they feel so discouraged, surrounded by rubble, they're so tired, and other times in life we feel so weary and struggling, just to, oh God, just strengthen my hands. Now, special treat today, I've brought with me, well, I haven't brought with me, I forgot to bring with me. I came out halfway here and I thought, oh, I haven't brought my Alpha glove with me. So I asked somebody, in fact, I even rummaged through the lost property box here to see if I got it one. I couldn't find one, but someone very helpfully found one in the kitchen. It's not quite the same materials I would normally have, but here's a glove. Okay. Now, normally it would be a kind of woolen one I'd use, but my Alpha glove, what I would say my Alpha glove, and as I say, I'm talking about faith. This is the middle section of Alpha we do, what is faith? I'm trying to illustrate a little bit about faith, because sometimes when we talk about faith, again, I think of one lady on one of our housing estates, and we got talking together, and she said, I could never become a Christian. I thought she had some really profound question that just never been answered in her life. I said, oh, why is that? Well, she said, I just couldn't keep it up. She said, I know what I'm like, she said. By the next day, I'd be just doing the same old things. I just couldn't keep it up, you know, all the kind of rules and regulations. And I said, but it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about us keeping it up. It's about him keeping us up. It's about not me having enough strength to be able to do it. It's God's strength at work in me. So I take my little glove and say, look at this glove. And it's usually a little black woolen one, but I'll take this blue, very nice plastic one. And I say, this glove, I assure you, there's no trickery, no magic here today. It's got no strength in itself, no power. If I try to do anything with it, you know, it's just a limp glove. You know, I can't do anything with it, etc. And yet suddenly it's going to change. Now, I assure you, I'm not doing anything special with a glove. No tricks over it. It's all I'm going to do is put my hand, hopefully I can get it in it. Yes, there we are. Inside the glove. It's the same glove, I assure you. I can do anything with it. Same glove exactly as I started with. But suddenly this same glove can do things. I can now even pick up a grandstand. I better not do too many things here, but you know, I can, you know, move this. And you say, is that the same glove? Yes, yeah, the same glove, I assure you. What's made a difference? It's a source of life and strength inside of it. The whole essence of being a Christian is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not me hoping about glory and hoping about, it's him in me, the hope of glory. It's that sense of him by his Spirit living in me. And the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, the whole essence, the wonder of this divine plan and purpose. Even Jesus, when he's with his disciples, he says, they're so terrified of the future, he tells me about to leave them. Oh, Lord, don't go. You know, don't leave us. Oh, look, I won't leave you as orphans. You won't be on your own. Yeah, but Lord, don't go. He says these amazing words. Look, it's better for you that I go. How could it be better? I mean, you imagine now. I often say, suppose Jesus was still here today, 2,000 years later. Wouldn't that be better? I mean, you could see him. You could hear. In fact, he would do a world tour twice a year. It was only 2 days at Heathrow. You'd have to go there. You couldn't get time, but you'd be there among the crowds, thousands of you. And then he'd be Johannesburg and Cape Town, around the world. Jesus himself. You could be on the front row. You've been waiting a week there, queuing up. As he comes out, you say, hi, Jesus. He even remembers and says, hi, Rob, my name. He knows me. And I wait another year. What if it was possible for Jesus to ascend to his Father and then by his Spirit, the promise of the Father, be so real among us that it was like as if Jesus was with me today and in me, living in me by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit making the life of Jesus real in me. The hand inside of the glove, strengthening my hand so that now it's not me struggling to do it and trying, but it's Jesus by his Spirit in me. It's the wonder, the truth of the gospel is that when Christ comes to live in us, he makes his home among us. It's not just visiting. He lives in us. Our body becomes the habitation of the Holy Spirit, or literally the temple of the Holy Ghost, like his dwelling place. I remember a young Christian, he was a real rebel of a fellow. He'd just become a Christian, and God was doing lots of things in his life. It was a Sunday morning. He was on his way down to church on the Sunday morning, and I had appeared same road, just a bit further back from him. It was too far back to be able to be walking with him. But anyway, he was having a quick drag just before he got to church. I mean, he's only 2 days old as a Christian. He's puffing away on his cigarette. And as he gets to the door of the cigarette, he stubs it out and drops the dog end down there. By then, I've caught up with him. I said, hi. I'll say Ray for the moment in case you know him today, but he's changed. Hi, Ray. Oh, Rob, he said, He said, I've stubbed it out. I said, I know that, Ray. I said, why'd you do that? Why'd you just smoke in? He said, I wouldn't smoke in church, Rob, in the house of God. No, I said, Ray, that's not the house of God. Your body is the house of God. You know, it's how we understand that work of the Holy Spirit living in us, everything I do and say. So prayer is key to that sense of the presence of God, the practice of his presence. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that awareness, prayer brings that communication, that relationship with him. And my prayer here today is, I better take my plastic glove off, so you won't be serious with me. I'm back in the kitchen afterwards. But here today, for all of us, it's the end of a weekend about prayer. The God of hope longs to fill us with that hope. For some of us, we may already feel that stirring. For some of us, we've been struggling. We're going now through a hard time. A situation, not just ourselves, but someone close to you. And it may be health, it may be finance, it may be broken relationships. You may even already sense you've given up hope. But this morning, my prayer is, just like on that hospital appointment for that operation that day, that was God's prophetic word. May the God of hope. I'm going to pray it this morning, but not just pray. I'm going to pray it prophetically. I'm going to pray it over us as a prayer. And if this morning you're open to sense God in a fresh way by his Spirit quickening hope in you, the God of hope, not just giving you some hope, but filling you with all joy and peace you trust in him, so you will overflow with hope. The fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life is not some self-indulgent thing that I've been filled. It's all in order that we can overflow. You can't overflow till you're full. You can be 99% full, but you'll never overflow. It's only when you're full that you overflow. God longs to do that we may overflow with hope. So this morning, I'm afraid there's no music playing unless the folks begin to play, and they're welcome to do that. But just where you are, I'm going to pray. Just stand where you are this morning. You'd love just for God, the God of hope, just to fill you afresh with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just going to pray a general prayer. I'm going to pray this prophetically over you today. It's been wonderful over this weekend to have so many prophetic prayers and that release of God's Spirit among us. God of hope. God of hope for each of us now stood in your presence, Lord. Fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come now, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Make Jesus real to us. Release in us a spirit of prayer that captures your presence. Whatever we face tomorrow on Monday morning, Lord, for each of us, we want to sustain prayer, and we want to be sustained by prayer. Come now, Lord. Release your purposes among us, we pray. Jesus. Fill us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord. Rest upon us, Lord. Welling up within us like springs. Even now, Lord, a sense from deep within. Lord, unplug those blockages, Lord, those hindrances, those bottlenecks in our life. Well up, spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to pray, even when the going is tough, Lord. Teach us to pray. While we don't feel we've got time to pray, or we're struggling to find words, help us to delight in you, Lord. For you to shape those desires of heart, Lord. even when the going is rough and we're surrounded by all sorts of challenges, and Lord, we feel we're under attack, Lord, in that spiritual battle. Lord, we lift now that shield of faith that quenches all those fiery darts of the wicked one. Sibrielo Casielo Cassandra. Lord, when our arms seem limp and our hands seem to drop, come, Lord, even here today, strengthen our hands, Lord.